what Jesus has done, we that are believers will never get rid of each other because we have everlasting life together. So we will see each other forever. So get used to it. Yeah, look at these guys over here. Oh my, with you forever? Yes. Yes, so this definitely is the pinnacle of the year. It's always great to celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ, the birth of the Savior, but it's, oh my goodness, is it great to celebrate all that Jesus has done, but what Jesus did no one else could do, to give himself up and give his life that we might have life, and to give it upon the cross, and he gave up his spirit, and they put him in a tomb. And we talked about that on Friday. They put him in a tomb, and the world says, we are done with him. But oh, God was just getting started. Amen? Yes, God was just getting started. Jesus is alive and resurrected. Matthew tells us the story of this resurrection morning. After it says in that verse 1, after the Sabbath in the book of Matthew, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. There was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. And he rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing was as white as snow. And the guards were so shaken by fear of him that they became like dead men. What a scene that had to have been. The earth was quaking. It was violent. It wasn't light. It was a violent earthquake. An angel of the Lord had appeared. An angel had appeared. Rolled the tomb. Stone back. And his appearance must have been awesome. And the guards that were there were like dead men. What amazing moment. And here the ladies are, and it says in verse 5, the angel told the women, don't be afraid, because I know who you are looking for, Jesus. You know, when I get to heaven, that's who I'm going to look for. I hope that's who you're going to look for. Yes, I got loved ones there, but there is one that I want to see first. My desire was to see Jesus. And I hope your desire would be the same and is the same. For all that Jesus has done for you personally, but also what Jesus has done collectively. And all the way back to this day, as the angel says, don't be afraid, because I know who you are looking for. Jesus, who was crucified. And he says, he is not here. What? He is not here, for he has risen. This is a thing that has never been done. Oh my goodness. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Because he's not there. He's not there. He is not there. Darkness thought they had him. Satan thought he had him. By all men must die. All men must go to the grave. But Jesus was sinless. The Son of God came to sacrifice himself that we could not sacrifice, but that we might have life because he gave his life. There's all kinds of beliefs in the world and different, there's all kinds of things that people worship. But man, this is it. God given his Son, Son given his life that we might have life. All the other religions in the world tell you how much stuff that you have to do. All the checkoff boxes that you have to do to get to your next level, to the next level. Well, there is no level like heaven. There is no level like God. And there's only one checkbox. Jesus checked it off by giving his life. What an amazing story it is. But it continues to go on. So departing quickly from the tomb in fear, with fear and great joy, because he said, here he is risen from the dead. Indeed, he is going ahead of you in Galilee, and you will see him there. Listen, I have told you. So departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, these ladies ran to tell his disciples the good news. Just then Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." The last time we heard Jesus say it was, "It is finished." And now he says, "Greetings." And they came up, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. That's what I want to do when I see Jesus. I want to drop and just get before him and kneel. And I don't even know how long that's going to take, but it's going to be good. I can't wait for that to happen. But then Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." That is such an amazing piece, is it not? That Jesus was already ready to do things and do some more ministry work before he actually ascended into heaven. Jesus has done an awesome thing. A thing that we could not do. I want to share something with you. Because people would say, "What in the world really? What is going on here?" I want to go to 1 Corinthians for a minute and 15. It says, Paul writes, "What am I saying, brothers and sisters, is this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor corruption inherit incorruption. Listen, I'm telling you a mystery. We will not all fall asleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we will be changed, for this corruptible body must be clothed with the incorruptibility. That means there's going to be a change. And this mortal body must be clothed with immortality. We're not bringing these old bodies into heaven. We're not bringing these old bodies in the presence of the Lord. We're getting new. But verse 54 says, "When the corruptible body is clothed with incorruptibility, and the mortal body is clothed with immortality, then the saying is written will take place." Here we go. "Death has been swallowed up in victory." And the only way that death has been swallowed up in victory is because Jesus conquered over it. It says, "Death has been swallowed up in victory." And then it says, "Where, death, is your victory?" Death has had victory for thousands of years. And today, people will die today, this being on this day, all over the world, people will die. There'll be a difference between the people when they die. Those who know Christ will be in the presence of the Lord, and those who do not know Christ will be separated from Christ. But where, death, is your victory? Where, death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Today I stand before you not because I'm special, but because Jesus is special. Allowed him into my life to let him be Lord and Savior of my life. Therefore, I also have victory. But my victory is through Jesus Christ, not on mine alone. For I cannot have victory on my own, and neither can you. It must be, and it will be, and only through Jesus Christ. So death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? There is no victory for death. There is no victory. There is no victory in death, for death has been swallowed up by Christ and his death and his resurrection. Therefore, I have eternal life, and you do too if you have your life with Christ. So who is this Jesus that we talk about? Who is this one that was on a cross? When I look at the cross, you can look at crosses. You can buy a cross with a figure of Jesus on it, and you can buy a cross with Jesus, an empty cross like we have over here. Now, if we had an emblem, we would talk about on Friday, we talked about Good Friday, we would talk about Jesus being on the cross. But us being Protestants, we celebrate Jesus' the resurrection, the empty tomb, the resurrected Christ. Amen? But who is this Jesus? Well, Colossians tells us exactly who this Jesus is. I don't need another book to tell me. I don't need someone to tell. I'm going to read these scriptures here. Nothing is more powerful than the scriptures. No man in the world is smarter than the scriptures. The scriptures is what God has given to us. It is our lead of life. It is infallible. It is the words that God has spoke through these men to write these 66 books about who God is, His plan, and all the prophetic pieces are in there are just an amazing piece. And don't think, oh, there's errors in the Bible. There are no errors in the Bible. God can take care of His own books, just like He takes care of creation. And this is what the scripture says in Colossians. He is the image of the invisible God. This is who Jesus is, the Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by Him, and in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He might come to have first place in everything. Again, Jesus is number one in everything. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile everything to Himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. This is why Christ is so awesome, for all that He had done on the cross. This is an amazing peace. But He says this in chapter 2, be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elements of the world rather than Christ. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ, and you have been filled by Him who is head over every ruler and authority. We have been filled with Christ by His Holy Spirit. Amen. So we know that we're not alone. Verse 11 says, you were also circumcised in Him with a circumcision, not done with hands by putting off the body of the flesh, but in the circumcision of Christ. Yes. Sinful stuff is cut off. And then He says, when you were buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith and the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. That is being the baptism, being buried in the likeness of His death and in the likeness of His resurrection. Verse 13 says, and when you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive with Him. So God made us alive through Christ. When we receive Him, we are made alive. We're no longer dead men walking. Yes, we will die in this world, but we are not dead men and dead women walking. We are walking individuals who are walking in eternally. We have life with Christ. But we were once dead in our trespasses and in our sins, and Jesus made us alive. He says He erased the certificate of debt. I had a debt to God, but Jesus erased it by His death on the cross and His resurrection. I had a debt because I'm a sinner. But now that I have received Christ, that you have received Christ, that them sins are forgiven. So don't go back and relive those sins. Don't go back. Just remember that Jesus forgave you. Yeah, you committed them, but Jesus removed that debt. He said He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations. It was obligations, being separated from God. The penalty of sin is death. So He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us. And He has taken it away. How? By nailing it to the cross. But not only that, He disarmed the rulers and the authorities, and He disgraced them publicly. This is the darkness, this is the dark rulers, and all the things that we may not quite understand. It's those rulers and all of those that we read in Ephesians chapter 6. All the dark forces, He disarmed them. Yes, they are still, they disarmed them with the death, and all there. and the authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them in him. Basically, Jesus has taken control. He is in charge. God has put him above everything, and everything is under him. What does that mean for you and I today? It says, so if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above. That's what we're called to do. Seek the things of God. Seek the way that he has called us to live. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge, just know. If you trust in the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, he will lead you. You trust in him and you'll follow him and he will make your path straight. He says, so if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Christ did everything that he needed to do on earth. He did everything that God put in front of him. He accomplished it. Even the hardship of the cross. And with the resurrection, he showed himself, stayed upon earth, showed himself to many, and then he ascended into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of God interceding for you and I today. He says, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And here's the hardest part. For you have died. What? Yes. And people cannot see that there was a moment in my life where a big part of me had died. It says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I want to tell you that there was a moment in my life, and when you have a moment in your life, when you came to Christ, you gave your life to Christ, and there's a part of your worldly part that you died to the world and to be alive to Christ, to live for Christ. You put those worldly things aside. It says when Christ, who is your life, Christ now is our life. When we come to Christ, he is your life. He's not your Sunday morning. He's not your Saturday night. He is your life. That means everything. He is with you in everything and in all things. 7 days a week. When you sleep, when you're awake, where you work, you represent. You're an ambassador for Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You are called to live a life for Christ. And some of us have lost our fire for that. Some of us have lost our fire for Christ. We have forgotten the joy of our salvation. We have forgotten what Christ has done for us. We just started to go through the motions of it. And I want to remind you, you also can't just live off the emotion, because you can't stay on that spiritual high in the sense of being emotionally, physically emotional every day. You're called to worship God even the days that you're not emotional, that you're super happy and you're super in worship mode and you want to lift your hands, and those things are great. But I want to tell you, there's going to come a time in your walk with the Lord when things aren't going to be going great and you don't feel like lifting your hands. You may not feel like worshiping, but you know deep inside you are not your own. This life you live is going to have heartaches. It's going to have setbacks and loss. And you're going to learn to love, and you're going to grow in your walk. And you're going to say now, and you go through those hardships. And then you can say, now I have learned to do the hard part, to learn to worship God, even when my heart is broken and I have a hole in it. Even when I've got lost, that shows me, that will show that you have that relationship that is full. Your tank is full. Even when you don't feel full, the Holy Spirit is in you and works with you in the conviction. But it also strengthens you in your moment of heartbreak. That you can say, even though right now I don't feel like worshiping God or reading His Word or do it praying, I'm going to, because I know He is faithful. And I'm called to do it even on the good days, but also the sad days. And I will tell you, when you are able to do that, you are growing in your walk with the Lord. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. There is our promise that then you will also appear with him in glory. But what does it mean? It says, therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature. Put it to death. The things that battle in your life as a Christian. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desire and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now put away all the following. Anger, wrath, malice. Malice is that thing where you want something bad to happen to someone else. But now put away all the following. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. In Christ there is no Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. The gospel, salvation, is given and offered to all. Praise the Lord for that. That Jesus didn't come just to die on the cross for the Jews, but for the whole world. For the whole world. The whole world. And one verse says this, whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people. We are called to live the life for Christ. We are called to live it for the Lord. We are called to live it because God sent His Son. His Son died for us. And Jesus has a great and beautiful peace. Jesus is sitting right now, the right hand of God. And that's what He is doing, interceding for you and I. We have the Holy Spirit that convicts us and guides us, encourages us each and every day. I want to read something from the book of Revelation. And it's to one of the churches here. It's the church of Laodicea. It's the church that is hot and cold. It's the church that looks like they're hot, but they're cold. They look like they're on fire for the Lord, but their heart is far from God. It looks like the church is doing a lot, but on the other hand, they're not doing anything. And Christ has a lot to say about it. He says, I wish you were cold or hot, one. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. For you say, I'm rich and I have become wealthy and I need nothing. And you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Today, if you don't know Christ, Jesus has a perfect word for you. He says, see, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. I think Jesus is offering salvation. I think Jesus offers salvation. I think he's offered it. I think he's still offering it. And he will offer it until the end comes. But our life span is not that long. The other scriptures would say today is the day of salvation. For those who know Christ, I would say that we should remember to stir up that fire, as Paul tells Timothy. Stir the fire, the fan the fire that's inside of you somehow. The fire for the Lord has gotten weak. Whether we are saved today, I pray that you are, that you have salvation. I pray that you understand or are excited about today's celebration. It reminds me, every Easter reminds me of my day of salvation. I remember where I was. I remember, you don't have to always remember everything, but I remember it was in 1978. as a 12-year-old boy. But a 12-year-old boy that Jesus was watching. Don't think that Jesus isn't watching your children. Jesus is watching. He is watching. He hears the prayers of your children. And prayers for your children. But at 12, I didn't understand all of it, but I knew this, that I wasn't right with God. Somehow I just didn't know, I just knew I wasn't right with God, that something was missing. And I heard the gospel, and I heard the gospel being preached. And the Holy Spirit is a powerful, He is very powerful. And in simple terms, I knew that my life wasn't right, but basically this is what I heard in my own, this was just this. I needed Him. He never said He needed me. But He did say, I want you. Jesus offers salvation. But we have to reach out and take it. I reached out and took it, and I walked down an old, I walked down an aisle. It wasn't far. I think I was sitting on the second or third pew, I think. But I remember walking it. It doesn't matter if you walk 4 feet or 40 feet. It feels like a mile. And when you get before that, we prayed for a minute with a woman. I remember her very much. Her name was Martha. Not of the Bible. Not that old. Martha, who led me to the front pew, pulled out a Bible. I was crying. She wanted me to read, but my tears were hitting the Bible. I couldn't read it. She read it for me. She took her arm and her hand and put it on my shoulder. We prayed. And when I stood up after that, I felt and I knew, stamped in my inside of me as a 12-year-old boy, that you are now mine. Your life is new. I have a plan for you. I didn't understand all of it, but I knew that I had this inside of me that it was real and it was alive. But I also know that as I walked as a believer and I prayed and God answered many of my prayers, and those are different testimonies about how God answers a 15-year-old boy's prayer and how even a 17-year-old as well. But I also know what it's like to stray from God, and God never left me. I just strayed. His line is still straight. And God wasn't looking for me to save me again. He was looking to get me back on track. And the voice I was hearing about that was His voice saying, it's time to come home. And then if you hear that as a believer, it's time to come home, you know what that means. It's time to come home. That means to get your life right with me. To get your life right with God. Because when your life isn't right with God, Easter doesn't seem as powerful. It actually feels more like conviction. Because you're not living the life that God's called you to live. You're not moving in the right direction. When you are walking outside the will of God, your prayers feel like they're bouncing off the wall. And they pretty much are. How do we know that? Well, James tells us the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much, which means a person who's walking in the will of the Lord, that his prayers are powerful. But a person who's not walking, who is a believer, who's not walking in the will of the Lord, the prayers are not very powerful at all. But what prayer is powerful is the prayer of, Lord, forgive me. I have not been faithful. And I have prayed that prayer as well. So in New York, I'm praying. And again, I find myself at the altar, not for salvation, but for forgiveness. To be restoration at a restoration moment. Crying as an adult man at an altar. And women that were around me that I never knew and never saw again in some, I think it was a Pentecostal church, but the Lord was there. And stirred my life right in the right lane and got me back in line. And say, it's a life that sometimes feels like a roller coaster, but I want to tell you, God is faithful. Amen. Bible says He is faithful even when we are not, for He cannot deny Himself. Because He is putting something inside of you that is a part of Him, and that is God's Spirit, His Holy Spirit. And the more older I get, the more I feel like I don't know enough. But also I know that I linger and I long for Him. That Easter is more important to me every day or every year. I see it. It's more important to me that it begins to, I know the basics of it, but also it becomes a deeper meaning to me. Some of you right now may feel like, I know the Lord, but I don't feel Him. Listen, you don't have to feel Him to know Him. But sometimes, it's nice when He does. And there have been moments in my life where I was like, Lord, I don't feel You. I need You to just come by and just rub my, just touch me. Just show you, I need You today. I want to tell you, God answers prayers like that. He will show Himself. Not to prove that He exists, but to acknowledge that you called out to Him and said, do you just touch me? Come by. Don't pass me by. Let me feel You breathe on me today. Easter is the most powerful day that ever existed. Amen. Death was conquered by God's Son. The Lamb's Book of Life is being filled with names because of what Jesus did on the cross and His resurrection. I know by God's Word that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That doesn't make me cocky or prideful. It just makes me happy. I'm confident in God's Word that what He says is true. But I believe there are probably more pages and names that need to be written in that book. My salvation story is my story. And I shared a little bit of it with you today. You have a story that you need to share with others. We need to get busy about being busy about sharing the gospel. But if our heart isn't right with God and we've lost the joy of our salvation, we will not share the gospel. We may be in conversation, but we will not share the gospel. It's time as a church to stand up and start to begin to share the gospel in a powerful way. That our hearts are broken for the lost. That we love those who don't love us back. That we can learn to love, as Jesus says, to love as I have loved you. And to love as God says, as Scripture says, for God so loved the world. I think we can do better loving our community. Amen. Amen. I think we should do better loving one another. And I think we need to do better loving our nation and even loving our enemies. Easter is my heart song. And I pray it is yours as well. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, Easter is just a holiday the world celebrates. And it really doesn't mean that much. If you want to know, if you desire and say, I need that salvation you're talking about, I want to be a part of that resurrection day. I want to have Christ in my life. I want my sins forgiven. Today is what the Bible would say. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, but today. And if your walk with the Lord isn't where it needs to be, God is always redirecting on the off-ramp. Get off the off-ramp. We got off the off-ramp. We got to get back on the on-ramp, on the road that the Lord set for us. Getting our lives right with Christ is the only way to get things in your life right, is to get right with Christ. For we've read that our life is not our own, but our life is in Christ. Let's keep it in Christ. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank You again for this day. What a beautiful day. But Lord, this is a moment where we begin to. Lord, we just pray, Father, that Your Spirit, Lord, will move upon us in a way that only Yours can. Whatever we need to make a decision in our life, I pray that You do it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand.